Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and we're all out of bubble gum.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, today featuring great musical artists that died in plane crashes. In honor of the former president of the United States, apparently he was flying out of New Orleans this weekend, got on a plane with a bad motor, and apparently blew a motor and had to fly back to New Orleans, which the former president promptly followed up with a fundraising missive to the MAGA world supporters saying they need to buy him a new Trump Force One. Because the last Trump Force One apparently had its own engine failure in Nashville last year. You know, is it that the man can't afford a good plane? Is he going to run for president again just for the Air Force One?
Look, it's good to know that he's had a near-death experience and has learned nothing from it. So at least we know that that's the kind of guy he is. And he's the guy we thought we were.
Well,
we
it's an opportunity to grift.
An opportunity to grift, my
friend? Well, exactly. It's a life lesson he learned young and repeats often.
If you send me money, I'll send you a new microphone right now. Brand new. It's so good.
Are you going to turn my microphone off just to prove I need a new microphone?
Exactly.
You know, we talked about this defamation lawsuit against Foxy News. And Fox News, a couple of the hosts there of Maria Bartiromo, well, she's still getting sued. And Lou Dobbs, I guess he's former Foxy News, he's still getting sued. But Jeanine Pirro was let off the hook. Apparently, she didn't say enough specific stuff to get, you know, thrown in with the rest. And apparently, Sidney Powell, the Kraken attorney, you know, under a little Texas bar action for some, you know, lawsuits lacking in merit, let's just say. They took some issue with, you know, the four or more federal lawsuits that were promptly booted. I mean, some were cut and paste jobs. Some reflected the wrong state in the lawsuits. But, you know, she promises she's got a super surprise witness. So I can't wait for that. But back to the case of the defamation suits. Well, it's Smartmatic and Dominion. And there are two different defamation suits. But the Smartmatic suit today, the $2.6 billion suit, was allowed to move forward by a judge that said, in fact, some of the Fox News hosts might have utilized actual malice, the standard. And how do we know that? Because even Tucker Carlson was skeptical. Even Tucker Carlson wanted to see some receipts from the Kraken lady and spent like a week seeking the receipts. And she never produced them. And he called her out and said, you know what? She offers no evidence. And she stopped taking her phone calls. But again, that didn't. Go ahead.
I bet you he had planned on having her on that week and having a whole big thing where he's going to cry election fraud, and she didn't want to come on the show. So he was like, you know what? I'm going to burn her down.
Well, he claimed it would have been the biggest story in American history. And the fact that he was not able to break it. I mean, I might have been a little bit petty about that. But the fact that she had no evidence to offer of this criminality, you know, even Tucker couldn't throw caution to the wind. He left that for Bartiromo and Dobbs and others. So the lawsuit, it continues. It moves on down the line. And Fox News, of course, will appeal. But, you know, they're just appealing the early stages. The judge said today there might be, you know, actual malice there.
Pettiness being the downfall is just too perfect. It's just great.
Well, Fancy Brian, you know, we got our own little craziness right here in our backyard. It includes a special prosecutor, the corrupted former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman. You know, sometimes I got to remember all the monikers I tag people with. But that one sticks. That one, you know, I think it's apt.
It rolls off the tongue.
But Gableman dropped, you know, his interim report and his recommendation for those listening outside the state of Wisconsin. The special prosecutor here said, you know, we should strongly consider rolling back the Electoral College votes for Joe Biden. But I have no evidence to prove there's anything sorted that would actually do that. But I'm going to level a lot of, you know, sort of scurrilous thoughts and allegations without any evidence. And it's interesting because there's actually a liberal group that's suing this special prosecutor and Robin Voss, who is the assembly speaker, Republican, that, you know, put the taxpayers on the hook for this investigation on an election that was decided 2 years ago that we've already recounted, audited, and even the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty said, you know, no voter irregularities of any significance. But that didn't stop Gableman. But now we are learning from this lawsuit and the 800 pages of documents Remington started releasing today. Apparently he's not waiting for a stay. He's not waiting for a higher court to rule that he shouldn't release the documents. Well, we got some breaking news. Gableman, the special prosecutor, had over 100 subpoenas. And a lot of them never got served. Didn't even bother.
How could he do that when he was having lunch all over the state?
Attorney Michael Gableman, I prefer the descriptor, corrupted former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, never served some of these subpoenas he drafted as part of Assembly Republicans' review of the 2020 election, raising new questions about the extent of their probe. New questions like, did he investigate anything, or is this purely an act of fiction? It is. The disclosure came just after a Dane County judge released nearly 800 pages of documents today. Oh, I guess that's yesterday. Tuesday, my bad. About taxpayer-funded election review that showed Gableman's team did little investigating for months. They really didn't do anything. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss of Rochester said last month that he had issued more than 100 subpoenas as part of the review. However, some of those subpoenas, including ones dealing with issues at the center of Gableman's review, were never served, according to Gableman's office. According to the investigator, he never bothered serving them.
But these are really important things that we need to get to the bottom of. It's really important.
Well, Democratic State Rep Mark Spreitzer, you remember Mark, he and Gableman had a little mano a mano.
Shame on you.
What? Shame on you.
Yeah, that was Spreitzer, the second one. Shame on you. Gableman's office on Wednesday provided Democratic State Rep Mark Spreitzer of Beloit with copies of 86 subpoenas that Spreitzer requested as a member of the Assembly Elections Committee. The documents include the in-state subpoenas that were served, along with out-of-state subpoenas that were signed by Speaker Voss, but not served. So any of the out-of-state subpoenas were not served, according to Gableman's aide, wrote to Spreitzer in an email that misspelled Voss's name. You know what?
I mean, that's common amongst people, but maybe when he's your boss, maybe.
I tell you what, man. If you are writing email missives on my behalf, you better spell my name right. Gableman, a former state Supreme Court
it's
justice.
Three letters.
Voss. You think it was Voss?
It's three. That's the water. The Voss is just Robin Voss. But you should. It's three letters. Couldn't you remember that?
Well, maybe misspelled Robin. Who knows?
With a Y?
I'm not clear. Fancy style. Gableman, a former state Supreme Court justice, corrupted, is responsible for drafting and serving subpoenas. All subpoenas must be signed by Voss. You know, I think it's Voss. And Assembly Chief Clerk Todd Blazel. Now, Gableman's aide did not explain why the subpoenas for out-of-state entities were not served. Without an explanation. Yeah, we got no good reason.
And it's not like he didn't leave the state. He went to Arizona to go and do some research, didn't he?
Well, but, you know, the questionable nature of the validity of the subpoenas and maybe even the contract that Gableman was not under, maybe that sort of undermined their faith in their own subpoena process. One reason, according to the author here, Patrick Marley, maybe because of legal doubts over whether Gableman has the authority to compel those from other states to show up for interviews and provide him with documents. Here are who the subpoenas were not served to. Among the subpoenas that were drafted but not served were ones to the Center for Tech and Civic Life. That's the Zuckerberg Group. The National Vote at Home Institute and consultant Michael Spreitzer Rubenstein. Oh, he was villainized. According to copies of subpoenas released by Spreitzer's office, Gableman has put two groups and Spreitzer Rubenstein at the center of his criticism of how the 2020 election was conducted. And the Center for Tech and Civic Life provided more than $10 million in local governments, two local governments in Wisconsin, two local governments, if I didn't say that clearly, to help run their elections during the coronavirus pandemic. Gableman and other Republicans, because of course this is partisan, have put their attention on the $8.8 million of that went to the state's five largest cities, as Gableman would describe them, the Zuckerberg Five. You know, because calling them the Wisconsin Five would not be derisive enough, according to Gableman.
Because he didn't want to tarnish the word Wisconsin.
Well, that, and of course, the five largest cities are home to most of the Democratic voters in the state. Spritzer Rubenstein of the National Vote at Home Institute assisted municipal officials with their elections. Republicans have alleged he was granted too much authority, particularly in Green Bay. Others, subpoenas, you know, that were not served, were directed at the election management firm Command Central, voting consultants, U.S. Digital Response and Elections Group, technology firm QuickBase, two employees of the Hyatt Regency, and the engineering director for Airbnb. Well, all very logical, of course.
Of course, it makes sense when you never think about it.
The 86 subpoenas fall short of the more than 100 that Voss claimed had been issued. In many cases, multiple subpoenas were issued to the same organization. Spritzer called Gableman's work a sham investigation, that's a direct quote, that is wasting taxpayer money. Speaker Voss should end this circus now, he said in a statement. The newly disclosed subpoenas were drafted in December, the same month that Gableman and Voss sent subpoenas to the voting machine companies. Here's where we tie it all back in with the Kraken lady. Dominion Voting Systems of Colorado and Election Systems and Software of Nebraska. Now, Dominion ignored Gableman's subpoenas, and ES&S sent Gableman a letter contending his subpoenas were invalid, in part because the company is not based in Wisconsin. In the letter, ES&S said Gableman had not properly served the subpoenas on the company. You've got to serve, you know, like the board member or the CEO, at least a corporate officer, service. It's a legal process. You get these documents. They said, you've been served.
I thought it was just you say it, and then it happens, and then the cops show up, and then the episode, the credits roll, right?
Fancy Brian, let's not wreck the ending. It's unclear if the subpoenas for the Center for Tech and Civic Life, the National Vote at Home Institute, and Spritzer Rubenstein were never sent at all, or if Gableman handled them the same ways as the ones to the voting machine companies where they were delivered but not formally served. No, we stuck them in the mail. That counts, doesn't it? No, that does not count. Not for legal service.
We really
that is a general rule to my opinion and experience.
We really meant it in our heart.
Again, Gableman's aide did not address the issue in his email to Spritzer and did not immediately return a message from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Wednesday. Now, Voss hired Gableman last summer and gave him a big old budget, right? To look into the 2020 election. He took that step months after recounts and courts concluded Joe Biden had defeated Donald Trump in the state by 21,000 votes. Nobody tell Gableman. Shh. Gableman last week contended the election was so flawed that Republicans who control the legislature should consider revoking the state's electoral votes. No, he said that out loud. And he said it like he meant it. I don't believe it, but he does, apparently. Legal scholars say that is impossible. But Trump this week latched on to the idea in a statement that praised Gableman and Voss. Gableman made the recommendation about decertifying the election in a report that mostly reiterated complaints Republicans have raised about the way the election was run. Records from his office released yesterday under court order provided few signs Gableman's team has done work to turn up their own evidence of problems with the election. So they're just taking people's words for it. Madison-based attorney Lester Pine said Democratic Governor Tony Evers' administration should audit any future payments to Gableman from the state legislature. It appears to me that Michael Gableman is a grifter, and someone needs to be looking over his shoulder carefully to make sure he's not misspending the taxpayers' money.
What I can tell you is that I'm going to call him the Gableman 3 because he's got a head the size of 3.
Now, Pine's firm, Pine's Bach, represents American Oversight. And it doesn't say so here, but I strongly suspect, unlike Gableman, they have a legal contract. Come back. And they probably serve their subpoenas. Probably. You know. Put them in the mail. More devils. We're mailing it in.
Look at the size of that boy's head.
Shh.
I'm not kidding. It's like an orange on a toothpick.
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.